This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأوحينا إلى أم موسى أن أرضعيه فإذا خفت عليه فألقيه في اليم ولا تخافي ولا تحزني إنا رادوه إليك وجاعلوه من المرسلين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فلما قضى موسى الأجل وسار بأهله آنس من جانب الطور نارا قال لأهلهم كثوا إني آنست نارا لعلي آتيكم منها بخبر أو جذوة من النار لعلكم تصطلون. صدق الله العظيم. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam stayed there at the house of Shu'aib as a son-in-law. He labored, as the hadith of Ibn Majah, for 8 or 10 years according to the Quran. But the narration suggests that he stayed for the longer of the two durations, and that was 10 years. 10 years have passed. It is now time to now move on. As Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam said, سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ لَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَيْكَ. I'm not going to make things complicated. I'm not going to ask you to extend it. I will be polite, courteous, cordial, respectful. Well, the duration has lapsed. It's now time to leave with his wife. And وَدَّعَ الشَّيْخَ. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam bids farewell to his father-in-law. وَوَدَّعَهُ الشَّيْخُ. And Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam bids farewell to his son-in-law and his daughter. Narration suggests that his wife, his spouse, his consort was on the family way. And some narration even suggests that she was in the advanced stages of pregnancy, confinement. عَلَى بَرْكَةِ اللَّهِ فِي أَمَانِ اللَّهِ. Oh my son-in-law, all the best. May Allah be with you. And, you know, all goodness come your way. And that's exactly now we go into verse 29. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this point of now separation and departure. فَلَمَّا قَضَى مُوسَى الْأَجَلِ. So when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam completed his duration, سَارَ بِأَهْلِ. He traveled with his spouse. It was night and it was cold. A verse that is coming ahead in this ayah indicates to us that it was cold. Anasa min janib at-tur nara. In the night, in the cold, anybody, a human need, you feeling to get some degree of warmth. It's a human need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about his bounties upon man in chapter 16. Wal an'ama khalaqaha, and he created the animals for you. Wa min aswafiha wa awbariha wa ash'ariha, and from the skin and the fur and the wool of these animals and the hide. لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ أَيْ تَسْتَدْفِئُونَ. You derive warmth from it. You derive warmth from it. Just like when it is extremely hot, you need to cool yourself. When it is extremely cold, it's a human need. And you would be surprised to know, my brother and my sister, there are many humans around the world that despite the harsh winter, they do not have adequate clothing. I have seen it myself, and we've been out on the ground. May Allah make it easy for one and all. Living in basic tents, scantily dressed due to lack of resources, and outside the temperature is -3. There's a heap of snow. Those who feel cold would appreciate it. You cannot begin to process the challenge and the intensity. May Allah make it easy for them all. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had issued the decree at the time of Khandaq, مَنْ يَأْتِينِي بِخَبْرِهِمْ جَعْلَهُ اللَّهُ رَفِيقِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Who will go and intercept information from the opposite camp, and Allah will make him my companion in Jannah. And none could master the courage due to the intensity of the cold. Sahaba said, we dug holes and we went in, and then we would cover it with a shield. And that's how, you know, we would try and derive some warmth from the ground. And then he sallallahu alayhi wasallam addressed Hudhaifa radiallahu anhu, and he said, go, O Hudhaifa. And he said, the narration of Bidayah. And then I stood up, and as I obliged and I followed through, I felt like I was walking in hot water, as the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when I got there, it was the first time I had observed Abu Sufyan, and I had a clear sight of him. But the Prophet ﷺ had given me strict instructions that just go and intercept information and report to me and don't do anything. And that's exactly what I did. Okay, coming back to verse 29. Anasa Absara, he sighted some fire. Qala, he said, li ahlihi, to his spouse, umkuthu, hang out here, wait here. فَقَالَ لِأَهْلِهِمْ كُثُوا إِنِّي آنَسْتُ نَارًا, verily I have seen some fire, لَعَلِّي آتِيكُمْ مِنْهَا بِخَبَرٍ, perhaps I'll get there and I will find some people, so I'll get a sense of direction. أَوْ آتِيكُمْ مِنْهَا, لَعَلِّي آتِيكُمْ مِنْهَا بِخَبْرٍ أَوْ جَذْوَةٍ, or I will get a brand of fire, I will get some live ember, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَسْطَلُونَ, so that you could warm yourself up, And many of the scholars say the adoption of the expression of a plural word here, umkuthu la'allakum, is as a mark of respect. So in Arabic, you would know that often you would use a plural form to denote respect. So many of the scholars have given that interpretation. He addresses his spouse with a respectful way. Lo and behold, subhanallah, I have a book in Arabic that just speaks about respectful communication. So as a woman to her husband, Allah refers to the wife of Zulaykha, as historical narrations refer to her, Alfaya Sayyidaha, Alfaya Sayyidaha, that she found her leader. The husband was referenced as a leader. And from this as well, the scholars say that it is good that a woman refers to her husband with a respectful term, an honorable term. That this will create a bond, respect, love. Likewise, a husband should use an affectionate term. And that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do. So Humaira was a kunniya, a pet name. Or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say Aish, an abbreviation, Murakham. And Murakham was a type of love and affection. So an abbreviation, a short form, was an affectionate expression. So this is also something very important. We might be using respectful and affectionate addresses when things are hunky-dory, when things are pleasant in the union. But when things go pear-shaped and they go sour, then unfortunately you see the use of vulgar, obscene, condescending, inflammatory, derogatory, vituperative, really, really distasteful language. May Allah protect us. Another quick reflection here is the element of care and concern for your spouse. Listen, my wife, you wait here. I will go there. Not subjecting his wife to go. You wait here. And then لَعَلَّكُمْ تَسْطَلُونَ, so that you can warm yourself up. So the element of care for each other, and this is also something we need to discuss. Often in marriage, after a period of time, the couples become insensitive to the needs of others and they become very self-centered. Today the word is narcissistic traits, wrapped up in himself. It's all about himself or herself, conceited. There's no care for others. No. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very sensitive. And likewise, from the wife's side, to show kindness, respect, care, and be sensitive. It's that type of, end of the month, my husband has financial pressures, and there's a lot happening in his life. Let me see how I can de-stress him and not add stress onto him. Give him his space. He's not in a good space. He's got, external pressures on him. And all that pressures that he's dealing with is just so that my life and the life of my children here at home can be comfortable. Now, if I can just reduce my demands and expectations, or tell him, we have to go this week. No, let's put it on hold and accommodate him. And likewise from the husband towards the wife. She could be having a tough day. The hadith where Aisha radiallahu anha says that those young children were playing that innocent play in the courtyard of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam's masjid. And I was intrigued by that play and I rested my head on his shoulder. And she says, Faqduru, you can apply your mind. It's a young girl who's intrigued in a play. How long would she be riveted to it? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would patiently just stand there and accommodate me, knowing very well he had no interest in it, but respecting my interest. So caring for your spouse, both ways, gender neutral. Let's be sensitive to the needs of each other. Sometimes a partner would complain, I was sick, she wouldn't make any food for me. Or I was sick, he wouldn't offer to take me doctor. And I then ask myself, am I married or am I single? So we need to show care, love, and affection. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَصْطَلُونَ I will bring an ember, I will bring a flame so that you can warm yourself up. Verse 30, فَلَمَّا أَتَاهَا So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam leaves her and he goes. When he comes there, نُودِيَ he hears a call, right? It's in a passive context, not in an active, not in a ma'ruf, in a majul. It is called out. Nudiya min shati'i al-wadi al-aymani. So shati' means janib, side. Wadi means plain. Ayman means right. Fil buq'a, on that location. Mubaraka, blessed. Blessed because this is where Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam received revelation. So yes, he perceived it to be a fire. Just look at how subhanallah Musa se poocho den khuda ki. Musa se poocho den khuda ki. Lene gaye aag mil gayi nabuwat. Ask Musa about the kindness, the favor, the boons, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam went to receive or collect a flame, a live ember, with the hope of bringing warmth to his spouse. And when he arrived there, he received nabuwat, he received prophethood. That's the favor and that's the kindness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An ya Musa, an ya Musa, an is in the meaning of a, an tafsiriya. Ya Musa, inni anallahu rabbul alameen. He hears this voice calling out, O Musa, I am the Lord of all the worlds. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. No words, my brother, and no expression, my sister, can encapsulate the richness of this moment. You and I sometimes have a pleasant surprise. I got to the shop and take a guess who I met. I went for the Jalsa. You won't believe who I seen. Recently, I was in London at an event and I was delivering a talk. It was a Hifz graduation. And subhanallah, when we sat down to eat, I met up with a colleague of mine with whom I had studied. And this was the first time I met him, probably after 25 or 27 years. It was such a pleasant surprise. So that's the kind of excitements we have. I met him, I met her, I seen this, or I was looking for something and I got in the shop. And you know what? I couldn't find it online and I seen they were stocked up with it. And wow, this was my delight. It knew no joy and no limits and no bounds. No words can describe the honor and the privilege because nabuwat is the greatest honor. وَأَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَن يُشَرِّفَهُ بِالنَّبُوَّةِ وَهَلْ فَوْقَ ذَلِكَ كَرَامَةِ وَهَلْ فَوْقَ ذَلِكَ كَرَامَةِ أَبَدًا أَبَدًا Again, Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Nadwi, rahimahullah's words in the story and the incident of Salih alayhi salatu wassalam, that people said he's going to have a bright future. سَيَكُونُ لَهُ شَأْنٌ And of course he had a bright future, but not as predicted by the world or the people. Bright future for them meant wealth, affluence, prominence, fame. And Allah gave him the greatest and the brightest of all futures. Allah crowned him with nabuwa. Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalata. And Allah knows who to bless with prophethood. Wallahu yakhtassu bi rahmatihi man yasha. And Allah selects with his mercy whomsoever he wishes. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ And Allah selects and He chooses. مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ اللَّهُ يَصْطَفِي مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ رُسُلًا وَمِنَ النَّاسِ Allah selects from the humans and the angels, messengers and envoys. Verse 31, وَأَنْ أَلْقِ عَصَاكَ And he was told, drop your staff. Historical narrations suggest that this staff was given to him by Shu'aib alayhi salam, his father-in-law. His wife's father, وَأَنْ أَلْقِ عَصَاكَ And drop your staff. So of course the wife is there waiting in anticipation. He comes out here and things are changing here on a very different level. And it's happening at a very swift pace. أَلْقِ عَصَاكَ Drop your staff. فَلَمَّا رَآهَا تَهْتَزُّ كَأَنَّهَا جَانٌ When he dropped it, فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى One verse of the Quran, chapter 20, Surah Taha. It becomes a snake, تَسْعَى running. فَإِذَا هِيَ ثُعْبَانٌ مُبِينٌ it is a python, a huge snake, mubeen, clear, everybody can witness it. فَلَمَّا رَآهَا تَهْتَزُّ أي تَتَحَرَّك. And here in verse 31 of chapter 28, it starts moving swiftly. So three terms have been used here. حَيَّةٌ snake, ثُعْبَانٌ a python, while جَانٌ, Allah didn't say it is جَانٌ, Allah said كَأَنَّهَا جَانٌ, as though it is جَان. جَان refers to a snake that is, you know what, slim, swift, and moves very fastly and vigorously. So the reconciliation between the different terminologies adopted by the Quran in this regard is that the snake in its size was huge, in its jutha, in its size was huge, but it was very, very fast and swift. فَلَمَّا رَآهَا تَهْتَزُّ كَأَنَّهَا جَانٌ. It was moving swiftly like a snake. وَلَّا مُدْبِرًا وَلَمْ يُعَقِّبْ. Sayyidina Musa, you know what, he just fled off in a flight. He just dashed in fear. Wallah, he turned mudbir on his back. Walam yu'aqib, and he did not even look back. And that's the reaction of fear and panic. And from this we learn that if something is scary, then it is a natural disposition to be afraid of it. And the Anbiya are not exempted from this here. And this is not against the station of Nubuwa, or it is not contrary to tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so Musa alayhi salam turns, walla mudbiran walam yu'aqib. Aqaba yu'aqibu ta'qib, he doesn't look back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imagine the privilege you conversing with Allah. You are conversing, like begin to process, my brother. People like to meet a celebrity or a prominent person, or sometimes people respect you out of their good will. They're probably listening to you, and you know, it's always a challenge when people come up to meet you with this perception or this reverence that they have of you, because you know you're a regular mortal. You have nothing to yourself other than the little bit that they have benefited or they appreciate. But of course, you below, way below what they assume you to be. You are a fallible mortal, and I'm talking about myself. And the individual feels honored, and you know what, I met so-and-so, or I met this person, and you know, my day is made, this was my dream, and it's come to fruition. There's no words that can possibly describe the honor of conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. So, وَلَّا مُدْبِرًا وَلَمْ يُعَقِّبْ. Ya Musa, أَقْبِلْ وَلَا تَخَفْ. It was said to Musa alayhi salam, advance and don't fear, don't panic. أَقْبِلْ, go back. وَلَا تَخَفْ. إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْآمِنِينَ. And in another verse, إِنِّي لَا يَخَافُ لَدَيَّ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. You are safe, you are protected, you are at ease. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is processing this entire thing. It's all happening. Try and imagine the joy, the excitement, the euphoria that would have enveloped Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. The Sahaba, and of course right in the beginning in Bukhari, speak about the incident of how when wahi would come upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and again the honor of Sahaba to be present at that time when revelation was in process. At times they say that it would be cold, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be mounted on his camel, and the intensity and the colossal nature of revelation that the camel would sit down. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. Okay, so that's verse 31. Verse 32, one miracle given to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was the staff. He was told to go back. Why was he told to go back? So that he familiarizes himself with it. So when he's going to drop that staff, and this is mentioned in Tanwirul Adhan, when he's going to drop the staff in front of Pharaoh, Pharaoh is going to get a fright and he's going to dash in panic. But Musa alayhi salatu wasalam will be calm and relaxed and calculated. So almost a rehearsal to this miracle. A miracle, just for context, is not the proof of prophethood. It's not the object of prophethood, is the proof of prophethood. So when a Nabi presents himself to people and he says, I'm a prophet, they say, okay, what differentiates you from us? What distinguishes you from us? So he says, well, I can do a miracle which you cannot do. And then he obviously displays, and each prophet had a different miracle. So it's not the object of prophethood. Prophets did not come to display miracles. They came to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, to support this claim, they were bestowed and blessed with different miracles. And hence it's known as mu'jiza. Mu'jiza. Mu'jiza means that which would defeat you, which is beyond your scope and above your grasp. Okay, so now let's see what happens here. The wife of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is waiting in anxiety and anticipation. He was hoping to bring a live ember. He gets there and things take a different twist altogether. He is now in communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's told to drop the staff. The staff was given to him by his father-in-law Shuaib alayhi salam. This is converted into a snake. He's told, don't panic, don't go into fear. Pick the stake, the staff up. Innaka minal aminin, you are safe and secured. Let's see what happens from here. And how does he go back to his wife? And how does the tale unfold from here onwards?